And welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And by the way, it's the 1st of March. Time is marching on, and it is Friday, so here we go. First, I did get a chance this afternoon to listen to the closing arguments in the Fonnie Willis case, and I think, as I've said all along, that Fonnie Willis will have absolutely no problems achieving her goal, which is to continue on the prosecution against Donald Trump and the other 18 defendants, although, as we know, a couple of them have already announced that they are convicted. They are in trouble. All that working out okay there, Joe? Are we all right? Okay. Just a little bit of adjusting here in the studio. No problem. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm a little guy. Okay. So, yes, it's going forward, and I like the way it's going forward. We've got 2 weeks now, according to the judge, to find out exactly what the decision is going to be. My guess is that the same thing I said in the beginning, it's over. Fonnie Willis is going to, in my opinion, Stephanie Harmon, she is going to continue prosecuting this case, and Donald Trump is going to have to answer for his crimes in Georgia. How are you, Steph? You okay? Okay. A little sound, but I know we have that sometimes. Are you there, Steph? You okay?
Can you hear me?
Ah, there we go.
Can you hear me?
There we go. Yep, I got you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. So
good.
Did you catch any of the closing arguments this afternoon?
No.
Okay. Well, I have to say that the attorney for Fonnie Willis was not exciting. He was not extremely well-spoken in any special way. I mean, he was okay. But what he did is he nailed down the facts and the law. And that's all they need. That's what they need. So, you know, I thought it sounded very good for her. And I know in listening to Donald Trump's people, they, in fact, interestingly, have come up with, I guess, not a new theory, but sort of a little bit of a sidestep, because they're trying to say that you don't need the complete degree of evidence and certainty of misconduct that actually the law requires. So they're trying to wiggle out of it. And I think they're not going to wiggle out of anything. I think they're going to be right back where they were 4 or 5 weeks later. And okay, it's not a big deal. They're likely to get this thing underway in terms of the trial. I'm going to say August, maybe September. And you know what? I have to laugh because, you know, the first thing that Donald Trump and his lawyers are going to do is they're going to start screaming, "Well, this is too close to the election. We can't do it." And, you know, I hope that this trial is underway and flying forward in October. I hope it is. I hope it's right in his face in October. And I hope every day that people wake up when they think about who they're going to vote for in that first week of November, that they have to think about the fact that this guy played with the last election. And Stephanie, it doesn't matter whether Donald wins or loses. He is going to claim that he won, isn't he?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So there's going to be chaos in November, no matter which way this thing goes. Because he's going to say, when he loses, he's going to say, "I won." And then he's going to ask his people to come and attack something again. It's going to be chaos, and I hope the trial is underway. I hope it's underway. And I'll tell you, on the other hand, he may say to himself, well, better to have the trial underway in October than to have already been convicted. So maybe from his standpoint, maybe this will be a plus. But the conviction is coming. And if it comes in November, okay.
The sooner the better. I just want them. This Trump stuff needs to go away.
Yeah.
It's just too much attention. We can't even focus on the real politics. It's all about him. I'm sick of it.
Yeah. Well, let me say this about how it's all about him in a way. You know, yesterday, both Trump and Biden were at the border. They were both giving speeches, and they were both answering questions. And the point of it is that the Trump was saying crazy things, like, for example, talking about Governor Newsom from California and calling him new scum. So, you know, he thinks that that's clever. And I suppose that there's a third of the country that wakes up in the morning wanting to hear some new idea that Donald has come up with in terms of calling somebody a name. You know, sort of like fifth grade, sixth grade. But okay, everybody understands that. That's Donald Trump. That's the way he plays the game.
That's what he do. He called the African Americans out their name. I mean, that's what he do.
No, that's exactly.
I yet to know anyone that is pure black and pure white. When you meet that person, you let me know.
Well, I'll say this. It doesn't matter because we know that you're black, and we know that the president of the United States, who was Barack Obama, was black. And I love when people say, oh, no, he's half black. I mean, the man is black. You know, in America, if you're black, you're black. And by the way, what is it that's wrong with these people that they have this problem over the fact that somebody is black? Say it. And by the way, they don't want to say they're white. You know, it's like if you say they're a white man, then they want to throw a fit like you're saying something bad about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so look, people want to call names. Fine. Play games that way. I'm going to believe in this country in 2024 that calling names is not going to win you an election. It didn't win Donald Trump an election. You know, he lost by 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton. Now, I understand he won in the Electoral College, but he lost by 3 million votes. Then he lost by 7 million votes to Joe Biden. And if he loses by 11 or 12 million votes this time, there won't even be a question about the Electoral College. Because that'll just be too many. You know, if you lose the election by enough, the Electoral College won't save you. And I'm pretty confident that it's not going to save Donald Trump. Not this time.
Maybe. Who do you believe is going to be in our top three?
Now, what do you mean by that?
Our top three presidential possible elects.
Well, I mean, it's going to be Joe Biden.
Think he'll just get reelected again?
Oh, Joe Biden's going to win. Look, I mean, first of all, Robert Kennedy Jr., he may get 15% of the vote, which is insane. But if he does, well, he's not gone anywhere with 15. And I do believe that many of those Robert Kennedy votes are going to come out of Donald Trump.
Okay.
I think so. You know, and the reason I say that is because those are the people who don't believe in vaccinations and who think that that there's some kind of a conspiracy to kill us through some kind of microbes. You know, I mean, where do those people come from? I mean, out of the woodwork somewhere. I always thought they went back inside the woodwork after the John Birch Society disappeared 50 years ago. And of course, Joe McCarthy just a little bit before that. So, I thought that was over. I didn't think there was a chance of this. I don't understand what's wrong with people. In fact, maybe you can help me with this, Steph. This business of waking up in the morning and people are angry. Do you have any idea what they're angry about?
You know what? I wake up every morning and I'm happy that I was given another day. So, some people go to bed angry and wake up angry. I don't know. I mean, you're blessed every morning you wake up, because you could be having dirt spread on your face, on your casket. I couldn't tell you why people wake up angry. I just think that people who wake up angry, they're just miserable.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
There's something wrong with them. They're miserable. Yeah. I've tried to find all the good out the bad and just continue on with my life.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this, Steph. The day that I wake up with somebody dumping dirt on my face, I am going to be very angry on that day. I'm going to be furious. When I come into the studio that day and I have to just, you know, wipe all the dirt off and, you know, clean it out. Maybe I'll brush my teeth, you know, and all that. You know, I have to say, I'll be furious on that day.
Well, no, babe, if you waking up with, first of all, you won't be waking up if you got dirt. You already 6 feet under. You're going to be nice and stiff and sleep, though. You won't be coming into the studio.
Okay. Well, you might be right. Oh. You might be right. That's possible. That's possible.
Oh, my Lord. You laid the piece on that day.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll be hoping at that point that Shirley MacLaine is right. You know what Shirley MacLaine has always said? You know, the actress. You know, she says that she has evidence that we do come back. So
as what?
Well, I don't know. Exactly. Exactly as what?
Well, ooh, you know, I don't want to come back as a slug.
No, you know, some of that theory is you come back and try to get it right next time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, okay, you know, however that works. But,
I might have a chance of running into me again somewhere along the way.
Something like that. I mean, Shirley MacLaine swears it's true. By the way, let's do a little business here, because in what time is it? 14-15 minutes, we're going to be visiting with James Ingram from the St. Louis America. This time he is coming.
Great.
Yeah, last time, in fact, he was here at the end, but it got messed up. But anyway, James is coming tonight. So James Ingram in about 15 minutes. And I would say it's a little bit early, you know, 4:15. I usually think of, you know, more like about 4:30 or so, but 4:15, it's all right. Food is good. And Wendy's is a great restaurant. And it is at 18,500 Chesterfield Airport Road. And it is great because they have baby back ribs. Mm-hmm. They have my favorite onion rings. You know how long it's been since I've had onion rings? I've got to have some. And they'll only be at Wendy's, I can tell you that.
And you know, I don't like onions, but I love onion rings. That probably sounds a little crazy, but I don't. I don't like onions. Everything is with no onions. But onion rings, awesome.
Well, be careful what you say about onions, because as you know, our great mentor and friend and just unfortunately not here at the present, Onion Horton, you know, he, that was a name that, you know, it made onions palatable for everybody. So,
right.
Yeah.
Except forever in our heart, though.
Except for maybe some bad white people. But, okay, that's another story. But, you know, and by the way, let me say, and there, I can say it. I've said it before, and it's fine. Washington University is putting up Onion Horton programs, and so far they've already put 30 of them up on the air. In fact, they are the old Showdown programs from the ones that they sent me that I saw were from 2004. So that's 20 years ago. And when you look at how we all looked, you know, it sort of knocks you out. But
did you have hair?
No. Not in 04. Not in 04. No. Earlier than that, it left. But onion rings, they're great. And we love Onion Horton. And there's going to be a whole lot more on this. In fact, next week, I'm going to be on Freeman Bosley's show with Jamila. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but certainly about this honor that has been brought to Onion by the Washington University Library, which is putting these episodes of Onion Horton's Showdown on the internet, where you can go to their library link, and there are 250 of those old programs. It was on the air for 5 years. I mean, 5 years is a pretty good run. And and the only reason it went off is because KDHX dropped television. So that was that. But for 5 years, and I've seen some of them, and so have my students at school, and it's really knocked them out because they can't believe that I was once young. Young and younger. But I was. So anyway,
I think we all were young at some point.
In time. Well, yeah, but it's, believe me, put 20 more years on you, Steph, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. That's an age. But don't get me wrong. I have to say, it is great being 72 years old, as long as you have your health.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you have your health, 72 is phenomenal. Don't fall. That's not good.
Nope.
Yeah. My brother was water skiing in his 60s and broke two ribs. Not smart. That ended his water skiing career. The whole family, we were all water skiers, but no, you don't want to do that. Anyway, we're still at Wendy's and we did the onion rings, and don't forget the pizza.
Great pizza
at Wendy's and more. We'll talk about all their other things next week, but that's this week's menu. Okay, so let me move on to the jewelry. And, you know, if you go to 1456 Hampton, you will find, I'm sorry, what am I, 4506. You know, I shouldn't read because, you know, that'll kill you. I know it's 4506 Hampton. And you know, I tried to read it, and it was killing me. Anyway.
Says the man that reads dictionaries.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm farsighted, and I'm sitting here wearing my glasses, so these, you know, far away I can't really see. But, you know, anyway, 4506 Hampton, Al won't be upset that I read it improperly, and it is Jewels on Hampton. Al is the owner. AJ is his son. You can go and visit them any day. They are terrific. They sell all kinds of jewelry. They make their own jewelry there. They will fix watches, even my 44-year-old Seiko. This is a nice watch. It's a nice gold Seiko watch. 44 years old. It's very nice.
I want to see this watch.
Oh, it's nice. It is. Anyway, Jewels on Hampton. So you don't want to miss them. And finally, tell me what you think here tonight. This is a new tie of mine. I don't know if you can see it, Stephanie. Can you? You.
Yeah, that. I can. Oh, I like that.
Good. Yeah.
So I really like that tie.
Yeah. You know, I like it. It's blue, I think, Or maybe
yes, it's blue.
Or maybe is it purple? I don't know. I can't.
It looks
tell.
Like it's blue. Yeah. It's blue. Okay. I like that.
Okay, but it's a different kind of blue. And at any rate, with a white shirt, I know I'm safe. Mm-hmm. You know, and a charcoal suit. So that yeah, I'm okay. But anyway, St. Louis Suit Company is on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. Been there for 29 years. And I love to say that you can buy these ties for $5. Or you could go looking for Donald Trump in jail, and he'll sell you one for $50. And by the time you get it around your neck, it'll choke you. Just because it's from Trump. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So we did,
oh my God,
we did a little business there. These are all wonderful advertisers that make it possible for us to be on the air and yes, and have fun. How did you like last night, by the way? Did you love Eric?
Yes, I had a wonderful time. I did.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful interview. Yeah.
Eric is it was a really good, nice. Good person. Now,
it was nice to see him. He looks good. He looks good. Oh, he looks healthy.
He does.
Right.
Yeah.
I still think that he's going to come back.
Well, I've always thought he would. And last night, I think, really told us he will, because, as mm-hmm. he said, he wants to serve whichever way he can. And I think that is like saying, if I can do it, I'll do it. So mm-hmm. so I look for Eric to come back. I like Eric, and I want to see him come back. But I will say this. And you know, I wasn't going to be too difficult. I threw the Ukraine thing at him. I knew he wasn't going to be wildly in favor of Ukraine. And but it did sort of take me a little by surprise when he used the Donald Trump talking point of discussing how NATO has pushed too far into the east toward Vladimir Putin, and thereby somehow justifying Putin's move to try to take the territory back. And that is a Republican Trump talking point. And
I was just getting ready to say that's you know, he's a Republican. What was you expecting?
Well, you know, there are Republicans today who admit that right now we're looking at 1938-39 in Europe. You know, mm-hmm. Eric's response was he doesn't see Putin going for Paris. Well, I don't think he's going for Paris either, because I think if he tries Poland, and I think he will, I mean, I shouldn't say that. He will if the United States doesn't back Ukraine. The next move he'll make after he takes Ukraine, that would be in my opinion, Poland. Now, mm-hmm. if he does try Poland, and if the United States still has a president at that point, as opposed to an authoritarian autocrat dictator, I think Joe Biden will do what he said, which is defend every inch of NATO territory. Now, I agree that Donald Trump, he has said it, and I believe him. He won't do it. I think he'll tell Russia exactly what he has all told all of us, to go do whatever the hell they want. And that's what Trump has promised us. And I think that's what Trump would give us if he had the mm-hmm. chance. I don't believe right. he'll even come close to getting the chance. But I understand that's what he would like to do. I'm not sure why anybody would want to even give Putin the opportunity to get into Ukraine any further. Although there is a great new article that I started reading tonight, and it's by a lady named Anne Applebaum, and she's a very famous writer for The Atlantic magazine. And
okay.
and this is an article that is explaining, according to her way of thinking, why Trump wants Putin to win in Ukraine. It's a really good article. She writes all excellent things. And so I'm looking forward to really reading this article. But it's just out. It's brand new. And she's on all the network shows explaining herself and talking about the entire situation. So that's a good one. Let me also say that on our website, which the Showdown website is talkstl.net. That's talk, T-A-L-K, S-T-L.net. On that website, there are some articles. And one of the articles in that section where you can find them is about Ukraine. It's about the history of Ukraine. It's a really excellent article. And I suggest that anybody that's watching go to the website and go take a look at this article. It's excellent. However, there's one other one on there, Steph, and this one is really important. And it is an article by a couple of people, Ozzy and Kuban, and they are from William and Mary College and George Washington University. These are university scholars. They've done the research. They've got the numbers. And they have shown that over the 20 years from 1980 to 2000, that when people have come across that border, the migrants who have come across, by far, they have not only not committed crimes, but they have committed crimes at a far less rate than Native Americans. And I think that you know, this article was written in 2009. And so, okay, 15 years ago.
Native Americans?
Well, us. Native. We're born here.
Oh, okay.
Here. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Born here. Yeah. So, you know, we commit crimes at a higher rate than migrants who come across that border.
I believe that.
I will not dispute that. Yeah. Well, Donald Trump would. And so would millions of people that are fearful of the thousands and thousands of people who are coming across that border every day. And I know, you know, if Berger were here, he'd be talking about how it's illegal and all that. But I'm going to say that if they come across that border, the chances are very high that they want a job, that they want a life, that they want to find a degree of security in America that they can't find in the country where they live. And somebody could say, well, it's illegal. And my answer is going to be, make it legal. Because if you make it legal and let them across, and if we send a million high school students, graduates, down to the border through the Peace Corps, say, and you have them help the migrants learn how to live in America, get a job, learn the language, fit into the country, I can tell you right now, we could move on to other problems and stop talking about immigration.
I hear you, but I mean, it's still questionable with me. First of all, you said a million teenagers.
Yeah.
You did say high school graduates, though, right?
High school graduates.
I was going to say, because there's a million students out there that can't read or write, let alone spell.
No, I want to send high school graduates down there. They, okay. We send them to Bali. We send them, you know, all the way around the world to places, who knows where, that they are in great danger. I think we can send them to the border and they'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
And I'll say this.
There's a war going on. There's a huge war going on at the border. I mean, the war is between us and them, and it's a war going on in Mexico. To where we're not safe going to Mexico, meaning Americans.
We aren't. Oh, they'll abduct us.
I mean, wouldn't want nobody, none of my children, going anywhere close to that border, let alone trying to teach them, because at that given point in time, I mean, where are we housing these individuals? Right now, there's no place to house them at the border.
Oh, I agree. And I
so
think,
what are we doing to house them, clothe them, feed them? I think, and Mike's on now, And I think he said something the day before yesterday, when I was saying that they're legal, they're coming over here, they're utilizing their Medicaid system, our healthcare system, and they're getting paid under the table. I think he said something about bringing them over and making them citizens or something like that, which they can't automatically. They have to be here a certain amount of time. But they, you know, that's even to put into the Medicare system. They have to physically work so many years before they can even start collecting anything. So at the bottom line, we're still putting into something that they can't get as far as Medicare, but they can get Medicaid and other things that we work hard for on a daily basis. Now, you know, I can't get Medicaid. I remember a time where I had all three of the kids and my one income, and I was told no, I couldn't get Medicaid. And it just, you know, astonished me to the fact that I worked all these years, put all these tax dollars into our state, and they looked at me and said that I couldn't afford it. Okay, let me see. I said that if they worked legally, they could start paying taxes and not just freeloading. You're right. If they work legally, but they don't.
Well, because we don't allow it.
They don't.
And I don't know. Maybe Michael agrees with me. I think if you brought those people over here and helped them to fit in, it would be such a positive thing for this country. And we could.
But don't you think they're taking jobs from us already? I mean, people are coming over here. One, we're outsourcing to other countries jobs that are needed here in the United States. We're outsourcing. And then, so if we are outsourcing jobs that we already need in the United States for our own people, you're saying that now we're going to allow other people to come across the border, and then we're going to allow them to take those jobs as well?
Well, I'm going to make somebody very upset, but I'm going to say it this way. If we would send all of our American people to the university and pay for college, then everybody would be educated at a level that would far exceed the people coming across from Mexico, Venezuela, Central America. I'm just telling you that we could all have our people at high-level jobs, and let the people coming over here, the immigrants, let them start off at the bottom of our society and work their way up as they get educated themselves. And when somebody is going to say, well, wait a second, you can't pay for everybody's college. Wait a second. We paid for all those people that came back from World War II. And, you know, when I say that to Jamie Allman, he says, well, of course we did, because those people fought. So you're telling me that we only pay for people if they fight to go to college? No, I'm saying let's put everybody into college. Let's pay for them to go to college, because you know what? We've already proven since the end of World War II that the more people you have with college degrees, the more explosive this economy is in growing, because you have very productive people.
I'm jumping in here.
Sure.
There are millions of people who have college degrees who are in positions that they're not even using those college degrees.
Sometimes that's true. Yeah.
And on top of that, so they done went to college 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, whatever, and they're not even in those positions to utilize those degrees. Then on top of that, I think they do it every year, but a majority of the high paying jobs don't even require a college degree. Look at a lot of the union jobs. They don't require a college degree, and a lot of those individuals can make six figures. And they don't need a college degree.
That's true.
So, you know, having the college degree, what does that really mean? I have two degrees. I have two degrees, one in business, one in healthcare. Now, because of how I was raised, I'm in healthcare. And I love it. But because I'm giving back to the people. But at the end of the day, everybody is not like me. You know, I did find myself several times in a different position besides healthcare. You know, so the degrees didn't mean anything. Two degrees, 14 certifications, and none of those certifications do I use in the position that I'm in today.
Okay. Well, let me say this, Stephanie. It makes you a different kind of person when you go to college than people who don't. And believe me, I have this argument with my brothers, Ira and Les, all the time. And James Ingram, I happen to know that not only did you go to college, but you went to a great college, Boston University, right?
Yeah, Mark, and good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
To you and your guests. Yeah, I guess they say it's a great college, so I must, you know, you say it, so it must be.
It must be true. I mean, I know how smart you are. And let me say this. It's true that everybody doesn't use their college degree. But on the other hand, James, do you think if you didn't go to college that you would be a columnist for the St. Louis American?
I think that had I not attended college, I wouldn't have had probably my five career changes. I probably wouldn't be able to think critically.
Right.
I probably wouldn't have the social skills and the ability to network and relate to people in the way that I did there, because Boston University was and still is today a international hub as far as students coming from all over the world. So it sensitizes you to global perspectives, and it teaches you how to debate issues, how to interact, how to access information and disseminate information. So irrespective, I started out as an engineer. So I'm not, that's the least of what I've done. So, but it does teach you how to think. And that's very important. It doesn't matter what your degree is in, but I think if you look at the data, I know you're a numbers person, people who have gone on to higher education, their salary tends to be higher than someone who does not. So that kind of speaks to the value of it. But I do think that those in higher education need to do something in terms of making higher education more affordable, so that people don't spend the income that they earn after they get these degrees paying back student loans and paying for that education. Then it really devalues the degree.
Yeah, and the point that I made before you came on the air when I was saying this to Stephanie is that the United States paid for all of those soldiers who came back from World War II to go to college. Mm-hmm. And the result of paying those people's college expenses was one of the greatest periods of economic growth in the history of the United States or the world. So we've already proven what it does. It creates tremendous productivity. Now, I agree with you, Stephanie. It may affect other people in a different way sometimes, but you have to look at the overall situation. And in the for the most part, you know, a 50-year-old college graduate is not going to be mowing lawns. Now, a 50-year-old college graduate might own a company that mows lawns and hire people to go do that. But do you follow what I'm saying, Steph? Don't you think there's something to that?
I mean, I understand and I follow that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. But like I said, that you just can't say that everybody has to have a college degree to make it in the United States. They don't.
Well, no, that's true. But when we talk about taking our jobs, I'm just saying that college level jobs are not going to generally be taken by immigrants crossing the border who have just gotten here, don't speak English, and are just barely trying to put their lives back together in a new country. They're not going to take all of our jobs away. And,
yeah.
You know, and here's the other thing, Stephanie. You know, last night, the one area that I didn't get into with Eric Greitens was this immigration thing. Because I had a feeling if I did, it was going to take over everything, and I didn't want to do it. Now, I might be wrong, and Eric might support what I'm talking about, but I doubt it. Because people on the right freak out over, you know, the different countries that are represented in crossing the border. It freaks them out. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually, I think Eric personally would maybe favor that. But I know his people on his side would certainly not. And so, you know, he's not going to get out there and support that. But I just didn't want to get crazy with that. But I did, James, I did ask him one thing, which was about Ukraine. And I got back the talking points suggesting that Vladimir Putin was worried that we were moving NATO too far to the east, and that therefore he might have had some justification in being fearful of us. You want to comment on any of that, James?
Let me say this first. In terms of Mr. Greitens, since you know some of the work that I do is in with justice involved individuals. Speaking of Eric Greitens,
right.
So Eric Greitens is going to do well with his education because he's a white Jewish man in America who, despite his brush with the justice system, is going to do well. Stephanie has a point in that the justice involved individuals that we deal with, we don't necessarily push them toward trying to get a 4-year degree because they're, to an extent, America is very biased in terms of how they perceive justice involved individuals. However, we steer them toward a lot of blue collar trades and things that they can make 6 figures. For instance, we had recently had a gentleman who was interested in truck driving. So we have a program that paid for his truck driving certification, and he's going to make 6 figures. He's going to make up to $100,000 a year driving a truck without a degree. He doesn't have to worry about being discriminated against because of his justice involved background. The same thing applies to other individuals. We have a gentleman we're going to be sending through to carpentry school, I believe. So carpenters, mm-hmm. plumbers, electricians, they make very nice salaries. A lot of, particularly if the individual is gifted with their hands. Everybody is not an academic, as you are, Mark, and other people who are academically inclined and want to, you know, sit in office. Some people, that would drive them crazy. And there are ways for them to make money outside of the academic realm. That's not to say that there are a lot of individuals who would benefit from going to college. So I just want to give some balance
sure,
to that.
Sure, sure.
As long as they have a plan and some strategy in terms of doing something that they're gifted for or they have interest in, they'll do well. Now, the point you said about Greitens, what was the position he had about Ukraine?
Oh, that we had pushed NATO too far to the east towards Russia, and therefore Putin may have had some justification for fearing that we had gone too far in his direction.
I don't know. Now, without having really examined what Mr. Greitens has said, and I take your word for it, I know he's a friend of yours.
I love the guy, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion about him one way or the other. But this is what I think. I think that we need to be balanced in terms of how we look at this Palestinian, the Ukrainian-Russian situation. Putin is a thug. We know this. We saw a funeral today, in which I'm most assured that he probably had something to do with the poisoning of this gentleman. Oh, and he's a media guy like I am, to an extent. So Putin I don't know. I tend to not take seriously anything that Putin says, because I have to look at the prism through which it comes. I don't know where Mr. Greitens, fits into this argument in terms of what he's saying, because I didn't hear his words, but.
Yeah. Well, I could say, as far as the funeral is concerned, there were 1,000 people at that funeral, and Putin thinks that he can, you know, put a lid on this whole thing. And I have a feeling that over time, this is going to grow and grow against him in a very significant way, because people do not like to be constrained.
They don't. Didn't they have a blackout? Didn't CNN initially have a blackout on covering the funeral because he didn't want people to see Navalny as a martyr?
Yeah, that may have been. I don't know.
Yeah, they were having problems with the signal, and they were saying, well, you know, Russia controls everything.
Sure.
They control the media. I know you've been there probably, but they control the media. They control everything that's disseminated from there. There's no free press there, obviously. They've had a couple of journalists that have gone missing in Russia that we know about. So, it's sad. I'm just more concerned and obsessed. And I don't know. I'm just popping in now about the orange guy getting in the White House, because we know he's a buddy of Putin's, and he aspires to be like Vladimir Putin.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You wouldn't have Showdown. You wouldn't have your show, Mark, because he probably tried to eliminate your ability to come on and talk about him.
Well, he already said he would. He said that people who criticize him, and he was speaking of MSNBC, but all the way down the line, I mean, he said he's going to stop that.
Of course.
Yeah. And in fact, it's even worse than that. There is a thing, you bring up an important point here, James. There's a thing called the 2025 Project. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Did you hear about that, Stephanie?
I thought we discussed that the other day. Well,
yeah, I think I might have said it. Anyway, the 2025 Project is an attempt by a group of people out here, led by Trump, to wipe out all of the civil service in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminate all the agencies. Just set it all up so that he can just pick whoever he wants, and he'll just have these people running it the way he wants. Including controlling the media, mm-hmm. which he, of course, hates. You know, all the enemy of the people stuff that he began with, you know, all those years ago. It's ridiculous. It's hard to imagine that there are Americans out here who listen to that, who listen to him talking about the blood of America being poisoned by immigrants from Africa. See, when he says that, he's not lying. You know, I played that for my students at Cardinal Ritter, because, you know, some of the kids, you know, they think, you know, I don't know, it's just politics, whatever that is. They don't, you know, it just doesn't mean anything to them. I let them hear the words, and I ask them, when this man says that black people coming from Africa are poisoning the blood of this country, do you think that has any connection to you? And I think, you know, a number of them don't.
They're young, Mark. They're young, Mark.
And I understand.
They don't understand. They don't understand because they don't see the relevance of politics. But, you know, I will say this. You know, I was disgusted but not surprised, you know, with this group of black Republican donors in South Carolina, I believe it was, the other night. And Trump's, you know, they paid good money for this black tie reception for Trump or fundraiser. And he gets in the room and he just proceeds to insult the whole room.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'm more disgusted at Trump or more disgusted at these Negroes that stood in the room and allowed themselves to be insulted and didn't leave.
Amen.
Yeah, they paid for it. And then he made racist insult after racist insult about we relate to him because of his criminality. That
yes.
He looked out in the audience and he couldn't even see him.
Yeah.
Which is one of the biggest racist
things
that he could have said. You know, and I see some black, and it's a danger in this, because we have people who have selective consumption of media, and they'll tell you, well, Trump is better for black people, but simply because he said it, but they can't cite anything that would justify that. But then I tell them, you know, look, well, let's look at Trump and look at his daddy, when they were denying black applicants housing in New York. Let's look at the Central Park Five when Trump came out against them and made something in the most racist way, even after they've been vindicated. So this is the authentic Donald Trump. This is not this just because he says, you know, I've done more for black people than anybody's done for black people. You know, black people love me.
Yep.
You know, I said, where am I black? Where am I African Americans? You know, and they get out there. Look at this. It's laughable. But, you know, there's nothing funny about what he does in back rooms in terms of black people. He had the least diverse administration in recent memory, from what I saw.
Oh, no, he did. They were all white.
What he does, not what he says. He says a lot of stuff.
Sure.
Most of it lies. And he does it in real time. Nobody fact checks him. You know, he wants to shut you down if you do try to fact check him.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just I never thought I'd live long enough to see how, you know, the politics always has been scummy, but to see it devolve to this level,
right,
with a Donald Trump, where nobody cares. This guy, you know, he's his case after case after case after case, and you know, federal charges against this guy. He's a potential felon. And when you interview these his minions and his cult that voted for him, you know, they don't care. They don't care that he's a potential felon. They don't care that this guy molests women. They don't care.
Let it be an African American. Yes. Let it be one of us. They would have already put us in jail. We'd be sitting there waiting on our trial.
Of course. Can you imagine President Obama saying he grabs women by the genitals and they like it?
Oh, they would have got rid of him right then and there.
Imagine, and then they capture him, recorded saying it, and laughing about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, they put this guy in office. This is like it doesn't matter. But we also know what that was about. That was not backlash, but blacklash for Obama being in there for 8 years. We're tired of this black guy contaminating the White House, so we're going to put this fool in. You know.
Right. Well, don't forget, though, he lost by 3 million votes to Hillary.
Sure he did.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it wasn't that the country was overwhelmingly for him. It's a flaw in the system.
It's a flaw in the system using this electoral college.
He snuck in, right.
Of course. And that needs to be changed.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what needs to be changed before that, and that is the Supreme Court. Because what we need is four more Supreme Court justices picked by Joe Biden. And, of course, the only way that's going to happen is to reelect Biden and then make sure that you've got a House and a Senate in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And then let's get ourselves four new justices. Let's get up to 13.
This can be done. That was at the same time. Some of this stuff is self-inflicted wounds. We had Ruth Bader Ginsburg just hang on life support. Instead of being humble enough to step down, knowing that her health was failing, we could have gotten a Democrat or somebody far less conservative in that role. So it's just crazy about the number of opportunities that Republicans have had to place people in those seats, and they took full advantage of it. And not only that, when they placed them in there, they placed young people in there so that they get to sit in there for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You know. We're putting people in there that are already starting to have health issues.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Bader Ginsburg felt that at her age, number one, she didn't want to give it up because she probably loved it. I'm sure she did. You know, and plus, I think she believed that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president, so... I don't think she worried from that standpoint. Obviously, she was wrong, and we're all suffering for it. But it's not her. It's Mitch McConnell that did the damage, and he was the hypocrite. And you know, even on the way out right now, he's saying things that are so pathetic and so difficult to even hear because he's just so content with himself. You know.
Well, he's going to check out in office. He's letting us know that he's not going to run again. But you know, he's probably going to die in office. I mean, that's what is this term up in 2027 or something like that?
Let's see, 24, probably 26, I guess.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, there's some other things going on. By the way, let me ask you on this, and I commented even before Stephanie jumped in. What do you think about the Fannie Willis closing arguments today? Did you hear them?
I heard some of it, and I've not seen anything that moved the needle one way or the other. I think, obviously, you know, in terms of judgment, she could have done differently in terms of, you know, dating somebody who was prosecuting the case. However, that's not illegal, and they didn't prove anything one way or the other that says that there was some kind of a conflict of interest on her part. If she paid this gentleman back in cash when they took vacations, or it was a tit for tat thing, that's how relationships go. They did not prove that she benefited financially. She didn't profiteer from the thing. She was in a relationship. And what's interesting, I realize as an officer of the court, there's a double standard in terms of what they require. But I mean, I can point to the last five jobs I've had, and you got all kind of relationships going on.
Sure, sure.
So that's how it goes, particularly with jobs where people work long hours. That's just a reality, but obviously they're going to pretend as if they're oblivious to that in these proceedings, because these are trumpeteers trying to get her off the court because she has a slam dunk case against Trump.
Yeah, but if you listen, right, and I hope you do over the weekend, to the lawyer giving those final arguments, I mean, he wasn't wildly articulate. He didn't sound so great that, you know, you thought he was, you know, Perry Mason with a script. But mm-hmm. but I'll say this. He hit the key facts and the law in a way that I believe that the judge is hearing in a way. I think it resonates with him perfectly. The questions that the judge has asked, I think, you know, point to the fact that Fannie Willis is going to move forward with this case. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, she was always going to get Trump, mm-hmm. but I guarantee you, when she moves forward from here, yeah, she's going to get him.
I tell you what, you don't want to piss off black women.
Say that.
And come in court when Fannie showed up unannounced and switched up to that stand.
Yep.
And crossed that leg, I knew it was on right there. And when she told that woman that, you know, you might, you know, I'm not on trial, as much as you want to put me on trial, I'm not. And she, I mean, I knew it was on.
Yeah.
And, you know, she, you're right. If this is allowed to proceed, it's going to be hell to pay on Trump's part and probably some of those people that were in that room.
And the other thing about it is, I know he loves delaying things, but if he's, by delaying it the way he's done, this thing could be on trial in October, right before the election, and he deserves every day that he has to listen to this in his ears as he's trying to run against Joe Biden.
Well, Mark, yes, the very fact that they're trying to shut Fannie down lets you know that this is the case that he doesn't want to see go forward.
I think that's true.
They've got the fake electors lined up.
Yep.
They got them 12 ways this Sunday. Trump knows it. He wants to shut her down. And it doesn't help that Letitia James is about to put a padlock on Trump Force One and Trump Towers. So he's got two black women kicking him in the tag team, whooping his butt.
She is going to get all of that. And let me say, because I love the fact that this is true, I've said all along, and I'm now talking back to 2015 when I sat up there with Jamie on Channel 30, I have said that Donald Trump is broke. And you know what? He's proved it now. He can't come up with the money. I mean, just he hasn't got it. And that's good.
Know the latest, you know the latest thing now, Mark, is he's trying to move everything to Florida.
Yeah, oh, I know. But they're not going to let him. They're not stupid. By the way, we've got a couple of minutes. I want to quickly, before we get to that last minute, I want to say that we love Wendy's at 18,500 Chesterfield Airport Road. We love the St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton. And we really love the jewelry at Jewels on Hampton. Don't forget Al and AJ. And they are at 4506 Hampton. And we love them.
Yes.
We love them. Okay. So how about a final word from you, James? I'm so glad you made it up here.
Well, glad to get on here, Mark. We got to get you a producer. so that this stuff is out on your social media, so people know we're here talking to ourselves.
No, no, they actually do, because it's all out all over YouTube. Okay. It's on Spotify. It's on Facebook, of course. But okay. but they're moving it out all over the place right now. So and right now we're out there, and it's growing by the day. Right. So mm-hmm. Yes.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, that's the end, and we'll see you next week, Monday, with all kinds of great things happening over the weekend, I'm sure. Watch all the political shows. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.